News now and stimulating talk.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. 34 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. This is always an honor and a treat to get a chance to talk to this next gentleman. So last time I had him on, it took me 45 minutes to give him the proper introduction. So to save some time today, I'm going to give you some things he hasn't done. Never played quarterback for the Jets. Never went to the moon. Let's see. Never worked at a Waffle House and never hosted a daytime cooking show on PBS. Everything else, I think Bill O'Reilly has actually accomplished. His no-spin news is broadcast weeknights at 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock on First TV. Again, he's on Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, many others. He hosts the O'Reilly Update, heard weekdays on more than 225 radio stations across the entire country and on the Pandora app. 16 number one ranked nonfiction books, and that's what we're here to talk about predominantly today. His latest one is out right now, and you can get it, Killing the Killers. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Okay, Lee. You know, I didn't work at Waffle House, but I worked at Carvel. Close.
Well, close. That is pretty close. So I must have been a treat to work at Carvel. Anyway. So let me ask you, we'll get to the book. So London subway bombing, 52, kills 52. That was July 7, 2005. November 13, 2015, attacks on Paris, kills 130. June 12, 2016, Pulse nightclub, 49 injured. My point is, the back of the book, there are seven pages of listed terror attacks, over 100 total instances of terror from 2016 through 2017. Some of these never made mainstream news. I just wanted you to comment on the volume of terror that has plagued this planet. A lot of folks don't realize it, but sometimes some of these attacks go unreported.
Yeah, the reason I wrote Killing the Killers is because we are in a world now where there's a constant threat, and this has receded in America, the jihadist threat. And if you listen to Joe Biden, he says, oh, it's the white supremacists that are the problem. Yeah, those numbers are very small with the white supremacists. But with al-Qaeda and ISIS, they're reconstituting al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, ISIS in western Iraq. And there's only one reason. They want to kill infidels. And the United States, Americans at the top of that infidel list. So when we go through all of the horrid terror attacks and tell you how they came about, it's almost a reawakening, because many Americans have said, okay, well, we haven't really heard much in 20 years, and we had the Boston Marathon thing, but, you know, they didn't get us. And that's true. And our weaponry and surveillance is unbelievable, and I describe that a lot in Killing the Killers. People don't know what kind of weapons we have now. But the threat is ongoing. It's constant. And with the open border, it makes it easier for terrorists to infiltrate into the United States, which certainly they have. So this is basically, you know, a book where you need to know what the threat is and what's being done to protect you. So that's why in the first 5 days of Killing the Killers being in the marketplace, sold more than 100,000 copies, Lee. But people want this information.
And a lot of this is classified stuff. So are you concerned that law enforcement may either ask you where you got it or ask you why you went with it? Because can you explain that to some of us?
Yeah, I put the book together after talking with several national security advisors that work for presidents from Bush the Younger all the way through to Trump. They were the ones that gave me the information that nobody's ever seen or heard before. And it is in the book. But I made a promise to all of them that I would not put anything in a book to put anybody in personal jeopardy or gave our enemies any advantage, and that's what I did. So there's nothing in there that anybody could say, oh, O'Reilly violated this or that. It's information that is classified, no doubt about it, but it is not information that's giving away our secrets. It's basically information that's telling you, okay, we opened the book, Killing the Killers, with the bin Laden raid in Abbottabad, Pakistan. Here's what happened exactly. It's not what you saw in the movie. It's not what the news media reported. Here it is. And then we end with the terrible 18 U.S. service people killed in Afghanistan because of that debacle there by President Biden. We got all the inside information on that at the Kabul airport. So if you're an American who really wants to know, and this isn't speculation, this happened, Killing the Killers is the book for you.
Again, Killing the Killers is out now. You can get it all kinds of, all the normal places. Go check that out. We have Bill O'Reilly on. We appreciate that very, very much. So there have been many debates about Obama, sometimes aggressive, other times maybe placid approach to terrorism. And conversely, Trump's surprisingly restrained at times, I thought, and yet effective demeanor when it comes to all of this. What were some of the differences between both of those presidents when it came to terrorism?
Well, Obama got embarrassed when he pulled all the U.S. troops out of Iraq. You'll remember that. And they made a big deal out of it. The left made a big deal out of it. We're getting out of Iraq, and it was terrible to go there in the first place, and blah, 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 blah. Well, as soon as the U.S. troops left Iraq, ISIS took over. And then the world saw the pictures of these ISIS animals beheading people on camera. They were zipped into Mosul with their black flags, and they terrorized hundreds of thousands of people. That embarrassed Barack Obama. When you embarrass a guy like that, he comes at you. So in the last 2 years of his administration, Obama changed his posture and became very aggressive toward hunting down these terrorists. Now, Trump, he campaigned on, I'm going to destroy ISIS, which he largely did. He fulfilled that campaign promise. But the really interesting thing that Trump did was he invested $1.2 trillion into the U.S. military. Well, none of us know where that money went. It went into space weapons. And the Soleimani takedown, the assassination of the head of the Iranian National Guards, was done by a Hellfire missile launched from a drone in space. We take you through that, and you see how ferocious these weapons are. That was Trump. And that's how ISIS and Al-Qaeda got downgraded, because almost every day the United States takes out, assassinates some of these terror people. And no one knows it,
right?
Because there's no reporting on it, and it immediately goes into classified information. So that's what we were able to do. But it wouldn't be fair to say that Obama was soft at the end, because he wasn't, but Trump really upped it. And now it's diminishing again, because Biden is, you know, concentrating on Putin and the Middle East, not so much.
But Obama was soft in the beginning, right?
In the beginning, yeah. He didn't understand the ferocity of ISIS. There's no doubt about it.
And we got to
ISIS is so bad. And we tell the story of the 26-year-old Arizona humanitarian worker, Kayla Mueller, who is kidnapped by ISIS in Syria. And al-Baghdadi himself rapes her, orders her murder. We got cooperation from the Mueller family. I mean, when you read this, you'll cry. And we did get al-Baghdadi.
Right.
Through coerced interrogation, and all of that is in the book. So there's a lot going on in Killing the Killers.
So, you know, you mentioned, too, in the book that Trump, his top secret aggressive posture, took away about 95% of the caliphate's territory. But you had just mentioned they're rebuilding now, correct?
They're where?
They're rebuilding. I mean, this is...
Yes, they are reconstituting in Afghanistan, up in the northeast part of that country. That's al-Qaeda. And ISIS is back to a limited extent in Iraq.
Right.
We still have special forces in Iraq. And that makes it harder for ISIS to operate openly. But they're there, and they're in northern Syria. And there's only one reason they're there, Lee, because they want to kill infidels.
Right.
And who's at the top of the infidel list? Americans. That's the only reason they're in business. So people, yeah, you might not have heard about it, but you need to know that this is absolutely in play.
If Trump got four more years, would he have broken the back of terrorism?
Well, terrorism itself is never going to be extinguished. The ISIS people moved to Africa, where they're causing all kinds of trouble. And
right.
We have U.S. troops on the ground. Nobody knows that in Africa. But we take you to a firefight there in the book. But Trump did a good job. I mean, I don't think anybody would say the opposite of that. on the terror front. But it's just that these people, it's like whack-a-mole. You know, you get them, and then another cell pops up, and another cell pops up. So it's an ongoing war. The interesting thing is that the weapons that we have and the surveillance that we have makes it very hard for these terrorists overseas to operate. It's easier to operate if you're a terrorist if you get into the United States, because the CIA and NSA doesn't have authority here. But Lee, if you, after this interview, make a phone call to Pakistan, they're going to listen to that phone call. That's going to be picked up, especially if you go to Lahore and the other, you know, hotspots for terror. You make a phone call from the United States over there, somebody's going to listen to it.
Bill O'Reilly is with us. The book, Killing the Killers, The Secret War Against Terrorists. I was looking through this, and it's so well written. If you don't mind, page 159, this jumped out at me, the way you put this together. This was al-Baghdadi's residence. The women are captured first. Four were sleeping but were awakened by explosions. Quickly they rose and dressed themselves in long black robes and head coverings. Soldiers burst into the room and in Arabic ordered the women to put their hands in the air. This is to make it impossible for them to ignite suicide vests. The women refuse, and they're all wearing suicide vests. Among these women are two of al-Baghdadi's wives. A standoff ensues. Delta forces prefer to arrest the women, not to kill them. Mission details remain classified, and what happens next is still not been revealed, but the authors of this book can confirm at least one of the women reached down to trigger the explosives strapped to her body. There is no hesitation. All four are shot in the head and die instantly. Yep. It's amazing. I mean, you did a great job painting the picture. I mean, I know it's a factual book, but the way you put it together is fantastic. So, again, you said ISIS is beginning to gain ground, and you mentioned earlier in our conversation that people are coming across the border at record numbers. I mean, I think, like, I've been doing this for a long time, as you have. I mean, I can't imagine that there are not hundreds, if not thousands, of sleeper cells here in this country.
I don't think it's that extensive, because you have to remember something. People, when they get here, the overseas jihadists, when they get here, the FBI has a pretty effective net. The problem is the ones that sneak across the border and they evade the Border Patrol and they get in. Okay, but then what are they going to do? So it's very difficult for these people to hide, because once they try to contact their overseas command and control, say in Pakistan or in Afghanistan or in Iraq, the surveillance picks that up and then gives it to the FBI. It's like the white supremacist thing. Biden jumps up and down every 2 minutes about white supremacist threat, white supremacist this, white supremacist that. The FBI knows who these people are. They know what they're doing. It's not hard to track this stuff because of electronic communications. Everybody uses a cell phone. So I don't think that we have a real problem in the sense of a mass 9/11 attack. What we do have is a potential for another Boston Marathon bombing,
right,
where two or three guys get together and blow up something. That is an ongoing concern.
You know, in your books, there's always a protagonist in your books, and I'm looking through this one. Obviously, the special forces are your protagonist. But, yeah, have you ever found... Because there's always this, I feel like it's a misconception at times, that extremists are fighting for the religion and a version or vision of righteousness that we could never understand to be true. So have you ever found one of these men who are willing to strap bombs to themselves to be pious and not just dirty killers?
When I was in Guantanamo Bay, I was there twice. And the first time was when... A lot. I mean, there had to be 200-300 jihadists were there incarcerated. Now that number is down to like 20, 25. And when I was walking through the cells with the American soldiers who would give me the tour of Guantanamo, in each cell, all right, there's one jihadist. And they're allowed to have a prayer mat and stuff, religious stuff in there. It's like anything else. there are some fanatical Islamists in there, and they're down, you know, to the prayer, and they're this and they're that. And U.S. forces actually give them an arrow in Guantanamo pointing to Mecca. So they point the right direction when they pray on the ground, if you can believe it. But there are others who are just psychopaths.
Right.
You know, they don't care about Allah.
Right.
They're just in it because they're evil serial killers. That's what they like to do. They like to kill people. And so it's hard to generalize there, but it doesn't really matter to me. Both groups will blow up my family if they can.
Right. Our special forces are spectacular, right?
I mean, unbelievable.
It's just incredible what they can do. And you mentioned the weaponry, which is, you know, it'll boggle people's minds. They probably don't realize exactly what is out there. It's pretty incredible. But did you get a chance to talk to a lot of special forces people during this?
We talked to a few, you know, just to confirm, because what was told to me by the national security guys, we had to confirm that.
Right.
And that's the way we operate. I mean, we don't want anything in a book that's exaggerated or didn't, you know, made up or whatever.
Right.
I trusted these national security guys. They were all the top of the line. You'd know their names.
Right.
Okay. But we confirmed what they said with people who were actually there in the various firefights and trackdowns and assassinations. And so I did talk to them. But the way they are trained, our special forces are trained, is just how they can get through it, number one, and then the discipline they bring. That's why we opened the book with the Bin Laden raid, because you see these SEALs and how, you know, one helicopter crashes outside the compound.
Right.
Well, in another, you know, military, that would have been the end of the operation. But these guys regroup, go in, do what they have to do, and then they all get out on the single helicopter that was operational. Just you'll just see the drama. You'll see the methodical way that our special forces operate, and it's very impressive.
I love your description of the Malinois, the Belgian Malinois that went in the tunnel. I thought that was great.
Yeah,
the way you put that.
Listen, this is the most dangerous work on earth. They do.
Yeah.
And there's nobody on earth close to our special forces.
Agreed. The book, again, Bill O'Reilly's Killing the Killers. You can get it everywhere, I assume, Bill, right?
Yep, everywhere. It sold more than 100,000 copies in 5 days, so people are fine. And I hope you guys consider it. You'll like it.
I got two more quick ones, if you don't mind, about other things. 2,000 mules, you see it?
No, but I know what it is. You know, it's I know the True the Vote operation in Texas, so I know what it is.
I mean, Dinesh D'Souza does a pretty good job laying out a lot of potential fraudulent votes from the ballot harvesting. I mean,
look, it's interesting, but none of what Mr. D'Souza, who I do believe is a conscientious man, none of what he presents could be presented in a court of law because it's not specific enough. What he needed was to find someone in these cadres of commit fraud in the voting to admit it.
Agreed. I agree with you on that. If he had found just one or two people
that's
who actually were mules.
They needed to nail it down.
They
did not have it.
All right, not to talk Putin or not to talk Roe versus Wade, I want to ask you a different question before we run out of time. Can you please explain to me how it's not considered perverse, borderline child abuse, to have kindergartners, first graders, and second graders learn about, or what's the reasoning behind them learning about sexual orientation or sexual education in general at that age?
The progressive left believes that America is a bad place. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's where you start on your question. That we are not a good country. And part of that is that our educational system does not encourage alternative lifestyles. So the progressive left is going to do everything they can to put material in front of five-year-olds that would almost brainwash them to a certain point of view that the progressive left embraces. It's all about propaganda. That's what it's about. That's what the progressive left operates in. You see it every day in the mainstream corrupt corporate media. It's propaganda after propaganda after propaganda. Well, the easiest group propagandize our children. And so that's what they're doing.
Sad. Killing the Killers is the name of the book. The great Bill O'Reilly joining us. We've gotten a chance to talk to him a number of times in the past. We're lucky to have him. Bill, thank you. Good luck with the book. You don't need it, but thank you.
All right, Lee. Thanks for having me in.
I appreciate it, brother. We'll talk soon. All right. Great stuff. Bill O'Reilly. All right. We got to run top of the hour around the corner, but we'll take a quick break. I'll try to come back and reset the scene before we run out of time.